it's Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll-free and join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. So big day today in the news for the libertarian movement here in New Hampshire, and I've yet to post this story over at Free Keens. I'm just going to kind of let you know briefly what happened, and then maybe later tonight we can get into some of the details. But the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire did announce today its third sitting state representative in the New Hampshire legislature has flipped to the Libertarian Party. It was February of this year when Caleb Dyer, who's now just 21 years old, very young state representative, he flipped to Libertarian in February. And then it was in May or late April when Joseph Stalkup, a Democrat from Keene, flipped to Libertarian, making him the second Democrat in the history of the Libertarian Party to make such a flip. Both Democrats come from New Hampshire, so one back in the 1990s. And this one today. And then today, a second Republican, Brandon Finney, who's also youngish. He's 29. The first two gentlemen were 21 each. So a very young Libertarian caucus has been formed in the state house. We have three now. Not quite 1%, but we get one more. The Libertarian Party will have 1% of the New Hampshire 400 state representatives, which, by the way, the three that New Hampshire has is three more than the rest of the 49 states combined. So, yay for New Hampshire. The Liberty Movement is working. It's yet more evidence that concentrating our activism and people here is a successful strategy. Now, with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
We're going to your phone calls and thoughts. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And you can Skype in, as our next caller is about to do, or our first caller is doing. Derek J. Freeman calling us, I presume, from the Seacoast in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Hello, Derek.
Wow, another victory for New Hampshire freedom lovers.
I know.
This place is the best. Pretty
sure
soon, I'm going to get tired of all this winning.
Yeah, it's going to become not news after a while. So, oh, yeah, another state rep flipped today. You know, apparently, it's just going to be a thing. At least, hopefully, it will be, because three is pretty good for half a year. I mean, it's been basically less than 6 months, and three of them have flipped. So, hopefully, we can keep up the pace.
Well, one thing I wonder about this is, are these gentlemen's votes going to change because their party's changed? And if not, I would presume not.
They're no longer going to be pressured by the party leadership in the big parties, which
sure
was something
they were.
That,
well,
huh? Not in the same way. There's,
certainly not.
There's a certain factor, and if we had one of them on the show, they'd be better to ask about this. But in their speeches that they've been giving at these, press conferences that have been happening in Concord. So whenever one of them announces, they call a press conference, the Libertarian Party comes out, I drag my camera out and record it. But they frequently will talk about how, you know, unfree they felt within the old two political parties, that there's a lot of political pressuring that that goes on, and it's very icky. And I don't imagine it's pleasant at all to deal with that. So that was some of the reasons why they left. But they all have their individual stories. And anyway, you can go to freekeen.com and you can search for Libertarian Party. And the last several posts from this year would show you more about that and give you their exact opinions. But anyway, Derek J., you were calling for a different reason.
To cap what Mark was saying, yes, absolutely, their votes are going to change. That's the reason why they come out as libertarians. And to use a comparison of gay people who come out of the closet and then start holding hands with their boyfriend in public, yeah, they felt pressured to act a different way because they were Republicans or Democrats, and they had to go with the party. Like they had to pretend that they're straight. And yeah. I don't like that person. So, yeah, I think their actions are going to change, and that's the reason for these types of announcements. Now, I have exciting news. You and your listeners are going to want to see right now at the top of freekeen.com. You talked about it a little at the end of last night. The Free State Project has been exposed by Democrats. They are terrified of what's happening, the progress that libertarians and anarchists are making towards New Hampshire secession. Well, I mean, they see the baby steps we're taking, and they're alarmed.
I'm confused by all of this. Go ahead.
Well, they're alarmed, and that's why they're holding info sessions to get organized and stop us. So I posted one of these info sessions in full at freekeen.com. There's a video. I break it all down in text and audio. And so if you just want to, it's long, but if you just want to peruse and see the parts that are interesting for you, it's pretty easy to just scan through and find the parts that are interesting. There's even a Q&A session where Free Staters were invited to stand up and answer questions. And really, the end result of this whole thing was that the local Rockingham County, that's the Seacoast Democrats here in New Hampshire, were more doubtful of the presenter than they were terrified of Free Staters, because in the end, they saw that the Free Staters were open and honest and willing to engage on the issues.
Because there were several of you guys, just to interrupt here, there were several Free Staters, libertarian, you know, activists who had attended this event and who stood up during a certain segment of this where they were asked to sort of reveal themselves. Oh, we know you're here. Would you mind standing up? And several did stand up, including you, Derek J.
That's right. It was absolutely the right time to do this. And you mentioned this in the end of last night's episode. I don't go into the this reason in the article, and so reveal it on air for you. The reason the timing was so good, it was just like sometimes you know when the moment to do something is right. Mm-hmm. And the reveal was so perfect because I was in such close physical proximity to the party leadership of the Democrats that I've been hobnobbing and rubbing elbows with over the past few months.
You've been going to their meetings. I knew that they've been getting to know Derek Horton.
Yeah, and I've been attending their meetings and talking about the issues on which we agree, you know, helping to keep the state police out of towns and expanding education, right? We're all for education, but it's being careful with the language. And then when they realized that, oh, my goodness, I've been talking and becoming friends with a Free Stater, I feel so betrayed. They physically
I didn't know they could be gay.
Well, they were so repulsed and revolted that their bodies reacted. There was there was audible gasps in the room. Your listeners are going to crack up when they hear this audio. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to ask you because so the video that you have here, was that you that was shooting this video? In which case you had said you were like right next to one of the main Democratic Party chair people or whatever from the Portsmouth area. Do you actually hear her gasp on the video?
The audio was delivered to me by someone else. I won't reveal the identity of that person, but it appears to you can hear the gasps throughout the entire room when Free Staters are standing up. And there's also another audible gasp when the presenter mentions the word secession. Mm-mm. It is such a terrifying prospect to these Democrats. And it's strange to me that they would want political union with Free Staters, with whom they so vehemently disagree.
But they don't vehemently disagree with Free Staters, really. I mean, what's so strange here is that they vehemently disagree with Republicans, with whom Free Staters disagree with a good percentage of the time. I call it 30% just for kicks. So why in the world would they spend all this time and energy exposing the enemy with whom they agree with 30% of the time when they could be spending their time going after the enemy they disagree with 100% of the time? It makes no sense to me.
Well, the best part is the Q&A. I hope that your listeners will skip through to the center of the video and take a listen to what the audience thinks about all of this. It's interesting enough to hear what the presenter is saying. She's got a lot of lies and slander, but it actually a lot of it reads like an advertisement for the Free State Project. Oh, they help you move in. And they help you get jobs. Yeah, it's so evil. They do charity work to appear good in the eyes of the public.
Yeah, that is just offensive.
Derek, can you hang on and talk more about this?
No, we've got a cryptocurrency meeting tonight, so I've got to head out.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and taking some time. And it is a detailed piece with a lot of audio and video. You guys can dig into it over at freekeen.com. Thanks for taking the time to put that together, Derek.
Peace.
We'll talk soon. Derek J. Freeman, more coming up. It It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll-free here and bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark. I continue to use Simbi.com to much success. It's a slick and easy-to-use marketplace where you can trade your talents for other people's services and abilities. You don't need money. So you can forget the old economy. This is your economy. It's Simbi.com. You won't believe the diversity of services that they have over there. Hundreds of thousands of people are acting within the symbiotic economy. And you can go there. You can start an account and then begin to look around and trade your services with other people. It's fascinating stuff. Simbi.com. Simbi.com.
All right, so we just got off the phone with Derek J. Freeman. We're going to get back into more of your calls, but I do want to just comment a little bit further on what he had brought up, which was this seminar. I wasn't in attendance, but several liberty-minded folks did go to this anti-Free State Project seminar that was put on over in the seacoast of New Hampshire, I would say several weeks ago now, maybe about a month ago. And Derek has been working very hard on what is a very lengthy and detailed written piece summarizing what transpired over this hour and a half, 2 hour long seminar, and also including screenshots. So he got some screenshots of the presentation that they were giving on a screen there at this thing. And apparently there were like 70 something people that had come out to attend this. Some of the people that might have been interested in learning more about the Free State Project. And, of course, they ended up getting a very skewed view on it, given that it was the Granite State Progress Group, which is a leftist activist group here in New Hampshire, funded from outside of the state, as I understand it, you know, to try to make government bigger in a lot of ways. And very interesting, you know, results here. Interesting that they're even holding these seminars, because if you think about it, the libertarian movement everywhere else, nobody's having seminars about the libertarian movement. There's no, you know, fear among the statists, among the people that love the government, these pro-state activists like Granite State Progress. There's no groups like that that have galvanized against the libertarians anywhere else. And if there is, I'd love to hear about it, because it would really show that those libertarian groups were having an impact, like the freedom-minded people here that are part of this New Hampshire freedom migration that's been going on now for well over a decade. I mean, it's just point after point after point. We're showing crystal clear how obvious it is that we're having an impact here. Because if we were not having an impact, if we were just this irrelevant group of loudmouths that really didn't do much of anything, which is what some of the haters would have you believe about us, then they wouldn't be spending time on us. They wouldn't be spending resources actually researching. I was talking with the president of the Free State Project today. He says that Zandra Hawkins, who's the woman that's in charge of Granite State Progress, claims that they have files on over 1,000. Now, whether this is true or not, the claim is, and it's hearsay because I didn't hear her say this, but they have files on over 1,000 Free State Project participants that they've just been researching and digging through old forum posts, because we got some old forums that go back for years from before Facebook, like the Free State Project forums or the nhfree.com forums or the, you know, Shire Society forums go back, you know, before people were getting on Facebook.
Man, can you imagine how much somebody's getting paid to compile this?
They have a researcher
nearly useless information
digging around.
And then they still come up with untruths. I mean, you know, the basic
they have to lie about
the basic premise of this this whole seminar was to say that it's a secession movement,
and they lied during it, by the way, claiming that it was actually part of the statement of intent for the Free State Project, and one of the people who was attending actually called them on the carpet on that lie, and they had to actually put up the statement of intent, which, of course, for the Free State Project does not say anything about secession.
Right, because I'm a Free State Project signer, participant, and I don't necessarily believe in secession.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
I'm
are a bunch of them that
for
don't.
It, but, you know, I mean,
some are against
it. It's just, I think it's mostly just sort of hot air. So, you know, I don't want to be lumped in that particular area, but I can see why they feel threatened. I just...
I love it. I just think it's so odd.
I mean, that they would spend all this time and energy.
We are the greatest threat to the state, and they are acknowledging it by doing all of this research and, you know, all these presentations. This was like year number three, by the way. They've done presentations like this in different cities over the last couple of years.
Then why not just secede the particular the battlefield? I mean, at this point, they're losing. I mean, they're losing ground all the time. So
one of the flyers that they handed out, you can scroll down at freekeen.com on Derek's article, which, by the way, the article is entitled FSP Exposed or Free State Project Exposed. And if you scroll down toward the very bottom, there's a graphic here of a flyer that was handed out to everybody upon entering the room, which says, "To resist, we need to get organized. The Rockingham County Democrats have a welcoming place to do just that." And then they give the address of the Democratic Party's offices there. And the suggestion is that they feel unorganized. Now, maybe this is just a recruiting flyer, but that's what they're trying to portray, is that these free staters are all organized and they've got all these different things that they're doing, like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance and, you know, Free Keen, which, of course, Free Keen has nothing to do with the Free State Project, nor does the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. But because some free staters have been involved in those organizations, they just figure they're all under the umbrella.
The more names of organizations, the more threat they can show.
Right. And so, they're all organized. We need to step up our game here. And maybe they do, because maybe they are losing, as you suggest, Mark. It's a long road. It's not over yet. We haven't freed the state or anything like that, but we're having some distinct wins. I mean, this year has been pretty, from a political standpoint, pretty epic. We got
we're losing control.
Yeah,
we've got to crack down.
These
people are getting out of hand.
I love it.
We need to steal more money from them.
Well,
and make sure that they can't do stuff that we don't like because we're more moral than them.
We should be able to move here and change the system, but they shouldn't, because a lot of these people are from outside.
Yeah, most of these people are from out of state. So the whole notion that we've come here to use political power in order to get what we want out of the system in New Hampshire and that's immoral is absolutely ludicrous, because they've moved here with the intention of using political power to get what they want out of the system in the state of New Hampshire. So to point fingers at us, there's four of them pointing back at them. But what I think is interesting is that. You should not fight where you're losing. Like, these people want to be the holding guard. You know what happens to the holding guard?
Well, she's getting paid. Zandra Hawkins is getting a paycheck to do this.
She's getting a paycheck to lose.
Okay.
Does that look good?
Feeding her family.
Or look bad?
Well, and some would say that the Granite State Progress folks looked bad at this event because they were obviously biased and they were obviously not giving the Free Staters a fair shake. And some of the folks in the audience, they were picking up on that. They were picking up on that they were being lied to. In fact, they even got called out on one of their lies in the midst of it. So go and check out that story. I have yet to read it yet, just because I've been running around all day dealing with the Libertarian Party news about how there's now three Libertarian Party state reps here in New Hampshire. Again, that's three more state reps than all the other 49 states have combined for the Libertarian Party. So, you know, it's just metric after metric after metric. Movers, political success stories, the fact that we've got haters on the attack. It's happening here, and more liberty-minded people like you, if you are one, really ought to consider moving. Go to 101reasonsfilm.com to learn 101 reasons why you ought to. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Your call's coming up.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship-free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
Also, want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. Great website to go to learn the basics about Bitcoin or maybe you are a Bitcoin expert, or you're not a novice anymore, but you're ready to get the, you know, plugged in with what's going on in the Bitcoin universe. You can plug in via their forum at forum.bitcoin.com. You can also get the latest news from the Bitcoin world at news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com really is the destination for those looking for information about Bitcoin. Again, whether you're experienced or not. So go to bitcoin.com. As we continue, we'll go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Fraker on the line in Atlanta. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Fraker.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
So I want to bring up a foundational book for libertarian thought that I don't know has been talked about recently.
Okay.
Okay.
It's Frederick Bastiat's The Law.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we talked about it, but it always bears being talked about. It's
definitely a libertarian favorite. It's a short one,
it's
thank
short,
goodness.
It's clear. It's got full of great quotes.
Yes, exactly. It cuts right to the heart of every issue that the problems with the state. And I just want to bring up, in the very beginning of the book, he mentions why the state fails when it uses force to accomplish its goals.
And why is that?
And it's naked greed by the users of the law and misconceived philanthropy.
It what's philanthropy? So, I'm sorry.
Misconceived or ill-conceived.
Okay. Right. The idea being that they can force philanthropy on people and there ends up being unintended consequences when you do that. You know, one of the reasons is because bureaucrats may not make the same choices that the rest of us would. Like, we might decide we want to give money to X organization, but they don't think X organization is good. So they're giving your money to Y organization. That results in all kinds of misallocated funds.
It's not really philanthropy when the government requires tax money to do it.
Correct.
Philanthropy is
requires voluntary
generosity.
Action.
There's nothing generous about demanding other people, give money to projects you think are worthwhile. But go on.
No, that's it. I just want to bring up those points. There's a lot, like Mark said, there's a million quotes in there, and that's a great one.
Awesome. Thank you, Fraker. Yeah. Anything else you want to share tonight? I appreciate it.
So I read Derek J's write-up on Freekeen, and it was epic.
Oh, right on. Yeah, check that out if you haven't yet over at freekeen.com. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to sit back and get into it tonight because it is very detailed, very interesting, and backed up by evidence, too. He's got the audio and the video to prove it. Thank you, Fraker, for the call. We're referring to Derek J's call from the beginning of the hour where he talks about just a really lengthy, detailed piece he's been working on for weeks now, summarizing this lie-filled hate fest of, that these haters have put on to slander and libel the Free State Project participants who've moved here and who've tried to roll back the state and have had some success. We had a great time today out in Concord, New Hampshire. Again, I'm going to post – there's a video that's, I think, currently finishing up processing on YouTube. So before the end of the show tonight, I'm expecting to have the video of the third Libertarian Party member to flip. So he was a Republican. He's now flipping and has joined the Libertarian Party as a sitting state representative, bringing the total to 3 in New Hampshire. Now, previously in the 1990s, I was told today – I believe it was Darrell W. Perry who said this, that it was 4. So they had as many as 4.
That's what I heard too.
In the state house together at the same time in the 1990s. And so hopefully we're going to be able to reach that number and maybe even eclipse it sometime this year or later.
So first off, before we get corrected again, I'd like to say that it's in all likelihood that Friedrich Bastiat. His name is pronounced without.
You don't put the T sound in. Bastiat.
Yeah, one of those French things. You just drop off all the letters in the end.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And
thanks for that.
Secondarily, I have a difficult time sort of discerning how I feel about this Republican libertarian flip. Now, I know that people listening may or may not know I'm a Republican Party member here in the state of New Hampshire. Now, my goal is that the ideas of liberty are spread farther and wider and become more and penetrate further into the state of New Hampshire. Now, penetration to me means that we need to have legislative members who are good libertarians that stick by the principles, time and again, who are able to get reelected and who are able to work within the political process in order to get these things to happen. There's probably other things we need, but those are just the ones that roll off the top of my head. And what what this says to me is that, wow, Daryl W. Perry, my coworker, is doing a bang-up job as the president of the Libertarian Party.
He's played a role, but Caleb Dyer, who's the first state representative to make the flip, as I understand it, he's been the one that's doing the real groundwork of talking to these state reps and, you know, answering whatever objections they have or whatever, saying the things he needs to get them to flip. I mean, certainly Daryl and Roger and the folks over at the Libertarian Party have given a lot of support through the press conferences and all that. But it's Caleb Dyer who's the man on the floor of the House who's really recruiting these guys.
And that's great. And, you know, so what I ask myself is that, you know, what you claimed was that these guys were feeling a great deal of pressure from their particular political parties, since they came from both Republicans and Democrats. We can't name just one because it was both.
That's correct.
They were feeling pressure, and that they feel like they can be better reps as a result of, you know, flipping over to libertarians.
I would say that's a fair summary of together what these gentlemen have said, the three that have flipped.
And that's what I want, right? Like, I want them to be able to be better liberty reps.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I fear, and one of the reasons that the sort of the Republican-Democrat duopoly continues to go on, and as a Republican, look, I acknowledge this. I don't think the political parties are particularly great for us or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just that I work within the one that I'm most likely to be accepted in. What my concern is that these guys might not get elected again in the future.
Well, that's not your problem.
Well, of course it's – No, I'm sitting out here deciding how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's other things that are important. There are other things that are important. So think about this. You've got now three sitting state representatives in New Hampshire, three more than the rest of the country combined.
Yep.
That's noteworthy.
Okay.
It's made the front page of the Libertarian Party newsletter for the last two issues. This has been the top story in the Libertarian Party nationally that New Hampshire has these state reps. That was the last two times. Now it's number three. Maybe we're going to get another front page on the next one.
I don't see why not. What else is going on in the Libertarian Party nationally?
I mean, they're running candidates or whatever, but they're not winning New Hampshire.
But that's not front page news. New Hampshire has now flipped three.
Yeah.
So from a news standpoint.
That's a big deal. Now, it's not getting pickups in the mainstream media, but that's okay.
I don't know that that particularly matters.
Right. I mean, it would be nice to have that happen. It would have been great had we had, you know, all the mainstream media there at the press conference today. But unfortunately, it was me and Brian, who's another libertarian.
So tell me why I care.
Do we want people to move here who love liberty?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yep.
And if it is attractive to those people, we need to make it as an attractive of a state, of a destination as possible. And one of those things that is a feather in our cap is to say, hey, look, we got real live libertarians in that their state house. Here's three of them that have revealed themselves. Now, there's probably about another 15 or so that are, you know, hiding, if you will, within the Republican and Democratic parties. Now, it's kind of known who they are, but they're still as Republicans and Democrats. They haven't made that flip. But the number is impressive, I think, given that it has generally not happened anywhere else in the country. The only other state where this number of state reps being libertarian has ever occurred is New Hampshire, and that was back in the 1990s. And what happened between the last 20 years and now? Well, ballot access. There was a drop down in the gubernatorial campaign results for the Libertarian Party. In the 90s, they actually raised the level of requirement that the party had to reach to the level where they couldn't reach it. So they took it from like 3% to 4%.
But wait, if they're flipping from other parties, then it isn't ballot access.
Well, no. That's what ended up killing them, because they lost their ballot access, which made it harder for them to run candidates. Candidates had to then file petitions and jump through all kinds of hoops.
Right.
And now they've got the ballot access back as of the 2016 election. So we're going to see a full slate of candidates, hopefully, or as much as possible, coming up. We're coming up. Free Talk Live. Hey, it is Free Talk Live. Of course, you can join us on the air. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you can Skype in to join us here at Skype username lrn.fm. And we're going to get back into your phone calls and thoughts. Do want to remind you, we do have a YouTube feed. You can go and watch us live if you're listening at 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can go to cam.freetalklive.com and you'll find us there, or just go to youtube.freetalklive.com and they'll take you right to our channel where you can, you know, look at other episodes that have happened in the past, as well as find the live one there too. So it's Ian Johnson and Mark in the studio here. Don't forget, that's cam.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Stefan. He's in Ohio and on via Skype. Go ahead, Stefan.
Hey, guys, I wanted to discuss the Philando Castile shooting.
Philando Castile. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, Philando Castile. I'm not great with that. Well, for some reason, I was thinking Fidel Castro. What the heck?
But yeah, very different.
It has a little feel, same similar feel to it. Yeah, go ahead.
What I've been confused about is the NRA has been suspiciously silent on this, despite them being in support of people carrying weapons. Mm, and I noticed a lot of gun rights. And a lot of gun rights activists have been really silent about it.
Really?
I'm sure you guys know I'm a fierce defender of gun rights, but why isn't anyone saying, hey, somebody who was lawfully carrying was just gunned down for absolutely zero reason? People should be angry about this, but nobody's like up in flames for that reason. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that the reason is because we don't know what precisely happened in the car, right? Like, on one hand, you have a police officer, and the NRA gets has a great deal of sort of police support and vice versa, and the police get a lot of support from the NRA, right? Like, they're, you know, complementary sort of organizations in many ways. And then to sort of stand against, because I haven't heard that many stories where it's the police officer's word against a concealed carry permit holder out there. Like, I just can't even remember a story prior to this one where it was like this, where a concealed carry permit holder
But the officer never even claimed to have seen a gun. He was afraid that that Philando was going to grab a gun, right? He
right.
thought he was going to.
I think that there's enough sort of chaff in the air about this, people are still saying, well, we don't know whether or not he pulled a gun. Well, the answer is we do know he didn't pull a gun because the officer never said he did. He never claimed he had a that he saw a weapon, only that he believed that he was going to see a weapon. And then you've got then they have to backpedal or whatever. So, the obvious statement that people sort of want to hear here is that this is racially motivated. The NRA is a bigoted organization or blah, blah, blah. I don't know that that's the case. I'm not prepared to say that's the case. I really wish that they would come down hard on this one and say that concealed carry permit holders are extraordinarily law-abiding individuals and that this was a mistake made by an officer who, frankly, is unqualified to wear the badge. But they don't.
Wasn't there some other guy in Louisiana that had this happen to him? He was like selling movies outside of a shop and he had a concealed carry permit and he was gunned down.
I thought he wagged that thing around.
I was told that he had a concealed carry permit and he wasn't reaching for anything and the cops just kept shooting him.
You can find anything you want on the internet. I don't know. I would have to look into that one further. I recall that one not being the most open and shut case around. The Philando Castile case is, like, in my opinion, open and shut. And that's the reason I've been pounding this thing since the verdict came down. I truly expected a guilty verdict on this, and I was stunned, shocked, and enraged when we didn't get it.
If that's the case, though, if the other guy from Louisiana happened to be there, and I don't know if he was waving it around or not, but if he was just carrying, wouldn't that add to people's fodder that maybe this was racially motivated and maybe that's why the NRA is so silent on it?
The fodder for racial motivation is already out there. When you had who was the guy in Ferguson?
Michael somebody?
Brown.
Yeah. Brown.
Yeah, Michael Brown being the poster child for, whatever, the fairness, fair treatment of people regarding their ethnicity. I mean, the guy, he certainly was the powder keg that set it off, but he was by no means the perfect one. Philando Castile is a great one to sort of look at.
Well, and the fact that they're not backing him is very interesting, isn't it? And I did find, by the way, the quote from Officer Yanez. This is the man who shot Castile to death on the side of the road after having pulled him over ostensibly for having a burnout brake light, which he admits later in an interview he believed that Castile was looked similar to a suspect in a robbery.
Oh, because he had a wide-set nose and
that's
he was
what
black.
He said.
Yeah. I believe that Castile had something like, I can't remember what the number is, 46. It was pulled over 46 times.
Lots of traffic citations.
But of those traffic citations, only six of them were for things that you would see from outside the vehicle. Mm. So he was getting pulled.
Pulled because he was black.
He was getting pulled. Yeah. I don't know what the reason is that he was getting pulled, but he was getting pulled a lot.
That's pretty clear, right? Like, you
I'm
can
sorry.
Talk to. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mark, but it is clear what the reasoning is.
Well, anybody who's black knows what it's like to drive while being black.
I've got to let listeners come to their own conclusions on this one, because I don't know what was going on in every officer's mind. But I can tell you this, I don't get pulled over like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's class, the vehicle, color, garb, what it is. But I know where my mind goes when I hear this.
Speaking of where
Trevor Noah, the host of The Daily Show from South Africa, I think.
Black gentleman.
Yeah, yep. Black gentleman. Light-skinned black gentleman. But, okay. He said since moving to the United States, he's been pulled over 8 times.
Wow.
In like a year or something like that.
So it's worse here than in South Africa.
Well, yeah. Even. Yeah.
It's to the point where, you know, the reason I think African Americans are pulled over more is, you know, the police think they're more likely to commit crimes. Like, oh, there's a black guy in that car. I bet he's got something in that car I need to know about. They find some BS reason to pull him over, and then they claim they smell marijuana.
But everybody
happens all the time.
That they're pulling over is likely to have committed a crime in the very recent past. So, I mean, that's a fair bet as to why they're pulling blacks over as opposed to whites. Seems I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if
Trevor Noah claims he's been stopped by cops 8 to 10 times in 6 years. That's actually, I mean,
still quite a bit.
There are white people that have been pulled over that same amount of times in that amount of time, depending on how you drive.
Well, right. That's the question that I immediately was asking myself. I remember David Letterman used to get pulled over that often because he was going 95 while on 95. Right. But, you know, that was part of the joke.
Look, I don't know if Yanez, the officer in this case, is a racist. To me, there's no way to really determine that. But, you know, it is not uncommon for, as you're pointing out, the police to target certain groups. And it's not just blacks. It's young males. It's hippies. It's, you know, different types of people that they're going to profile and say, oh, Mark, you're not interesting because you look like a respectable businessman who's driving back from the office.
I always buy beaters, though. Yeah. I mean, Ian, when was the last time I had a new car?
You had one in... Oh, I mean, you had a convertible back in Sarasota, like more than a decade
ago. Yeah, but it was a 10-year-old convertible, 20-year-old convertible.
Regardless, there are certain types of people that are more likely to get pulled than others, and that's just a fact. So speaking of things going through people's minds, here's the quote from an interview with Officer Yanez, and I believe this is from one of the police interviews where he was being interviewed after the shooting. He says, quote, I thought he had the gun in his hand, in his right hand, and I thought... He had it enough to where all he had to do is just pull it out, point it at me, move his trigger finger down the trigger and let off rounds, kind of like the cop did. And I had no other option than to take out my firearm, and I shot, he says. So again, there he says he thought he had the gun in his hand. Yeah. He thought he had it to where he was, you know, going to get shot by it, even though he didn't.
But who's going to say...
different statement than, he had the gun in his hand. He was pulling it out and was going to shoot me. No, that's completely different than, I thought those things. But so it's very active imagination. Go ahead.
But who's going to say, I have a gun, and then before they start shooting you? No, if he wants to shoot you, he's not going to say anything.
If he wants to shoot you, he's just going to shoot you. He's not going to say, officer, I have to inform you that I have
about
a firearm.
To kill you.
Yeah. No, it's no. What he said was, officer, I have to inform you that I have a firearm. Which, if you're going to kill a cop, you don't go ahead and just have a chit chat about how you have a gun.
It's unlikely that you'd use the term firearm. Too.
Yeah,
right. But you have to remember that these police are, you know, now they're being trained to be paranoid and fearful, and they're also really stupid because they keep lowering the IQ requirements to join the force. And
In some departments,
they actually require that you cannot be intelligent.
That's correct.
That you cannot be too smart. So they really want idiots working on this force. So when someone says, I've got a gun, this cop is too stupid to understand that, you know,
you might be right.
You wouldn't be told, you know, you wouldn't be telling. Like, he can't have that thought process because he's a moron.
Most departments do not have the IQ requirement.
Clearly, this one has some stupid people working for them.
Hey, thanks
like
for
this, Yanez.
Thanks for the call, Stephen. Well, it's hard to find good cops because intelligent, talented people will go and get real jobs doing, you know, real work. I mean, I'm not saying that cops do bad things all the time, but. Man, sometimes they get it right, but a lot of times they're just hurting peaceful people, and it's not okay. More coming up here.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash. a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You just dial on in here toll free and bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
Coming up, we got the story that, Johnson, you're going to be sharing with us that is in reference sort of to the police. In this case, the toughest sheriff in America, or the so-called self-proclaimed toughest sheriff. That's Joe Arpaio. What's the latest with him? We've been kind of on and off keeping up with the developments in his career because we're not fans here on Free Talk Live. But we'll get into that coming up here. A few moments ago, we're talking about the Philando Castile case yet again and had dragged out a quote from Officer Yanez, the shooter, the man who shot to death Philando Castile, the permit holder, the gun permit holder, concealed carry permit holder, who was killed on the side of the road, ostensibly in what was supposed to be a traffic stop for a burnt out brake light. And he told the officer he had a gun, that he had a permit, and he was concealed carrying, and the officer proceeded to blast him away in front of a small child and his girlfriend. So you're certainly, as always, welcome to comment on that. But, Mark, you had a related story about a cop killing another cop or shooting another cop. Does the other cop in your story die, or does he survive the encounter?
I'm not entirely clear on that one.
Okay, where's the story
from? I read it yesterday, and it doesn't remind me. This is from Washington Post.
Okay.
And I don't know what's related about it. You can decide what the relations
Cops
are.
Cops killing people.
Okay. A friendly fire incident in which an off-duty St. Louis policeman was shot while coming to the aid of fellow officers has taken on racial overtones after an incendiary claim by the injured officer's attorney. The officer was viewed as a threat because he was black.
Uh-oh.
The St. Louis Police Department has not identified any of the officers involved in Wednesday night's incident. The officer who shot the off-duty policeman was white.
So this is pretty fresh news, then, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay.
All seven officers involved are on administrative leave as the department sorts out what happened. What is known is that officers with an anti-crime task force were tracking a car that was stolen from the Maryland Heights community after its license plate had been detected by an automatic reader. I love those things. Those automatic readers, they really help with keeping all of us safe. Wednesday night, interim police chief.
It's Lawrence, for revenue.
Yeah, that's what it's for. Yeah. Interim police chief Lawrence O'Toole told reporters during the chase, the armed men inside the car opened fire. Officers fired back, hitting one of the men in the ankle during the ensuing exchange. The vehicle ultimately crashed in a neighborhood on the north side of the city, and the occupants jumped out and ran, police said. Hmm. The man shot in the ankle was quickly arrested, along with a teenager who was caught after a brief chase. A third man, who police believed was armed, got away and remained at large.
Hmm.
By the time this story was put out, an off-duty officer who lives nearby heard the commotion, grabbed his service pistol, and headed to the scene to assist his fellow officers.
Mm.
He arrived as the other officers were carrying out the arrest. The other officers ordered the off-duty officer to the ground, then recognized him as a fellow policeman and told him to stand up and walk toward them. As he approached, another officer arrived and shot the off-duty officer in the arm, apparently not recognizing him, the police told the Associated Press. The black officer, who's 38 years old and an 11-year veteran of the force, was treated at the hospital and released.
So it's the idea that the cop that had come on the scene sees a black man carrying a gun walking towards the other officers and just, figured.
Bang. So, in all likelihood, as I understand the story, the three people in the car were black. Mm-hmm. And so they've got this sort of reports on the radio, hey, black guys shooting at officers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to the scene, there's a black guy with a gun, bang.
Well, apparently, if you are a police officer, and especially a black police officer, you are at extreme risk if you don't have your uniform on.
Yep. Just to be clear, the officer told the investigators he feared for his safety.
The cop that shot
yes.
the other guy.
Because that's what you say.
That's the
you shoot yeah. and then say you feared for your safety.
That's the get out of jail free card for cops.
Yeah, so
it works. Every time, doesn't it? When has it been?
We'll see.
That a cop has been disbelieved.
It hasn't been too many times that black officers have been shot for being black by white officers.
That's true.
If that's what happened here, and again, I don't know what happened in anybody's.
Well, like you
mind.
Said, they're not revealing the names yet, so nobody can. Really
there's
do
a story
digging.
Like this last year of a black firefighter that was arrested, put on the ground, shot. Something happened to him that was sort of negative. And, at some point or another, people are going to be sensing a pattern here. All I can say is that police officers in the United States of America shoot people far more often than police officers in any other industrialized country that I've been able to look at. I've looked and looked and looked and looked and looked because I don't want to believe that this is the reason, right? But it's not just color. They just shoot too much.
Sure.
And it apparently is because they're told, shoot first, say you felt threatened. That's what I'm guessing because that seems to be what happens over and over.
That's right.
Or they feel threatened a lot, and they're not qualified to be officers. It's a threatening position, and you've got to be the kind of person who's cool under pressure. I don't know what else to say about this, but whose side am I supposed to take when the black officers get shot by the white officer? Whose side am I supposed to take as a good, red-blooded American? The police officer shoots the police officer. Right? One of them was getting paid to be there. The other one was just coming out to be helpful.
You should, in my opinion, take the side of the guy that got shot because the dude that shot him did not ascertain what was going on. He just rolled right up, and from the description at least, right? He just rolled right on up and started blasting, saw a black man with a gun, and jumped to some conclusions. And the question is whether he will face any consequences for jumping to conclusions like that. It sounds like he thankfully didn't take this other man's life, but shot him in the arm or something like that. So he's injured is what the description was. And so he's fortunate that he doesn't have a dead body on his hands and maybe he can make it up to him somehow. Yeah. But geez.
I can totally see why somebody might be upset, why somebody might be black and upset about how things are going in this country when they see story after story after story like this.
Sure.
Look, I can't tell you what the statistics are like. I can't tell you what it's like to be black. I can't tell you any of those things. But I can say that I'm seeing a lot of these stories, and the Washington Post isn't exactly known for being a liberal rag, folks. This is... there's only one side to the story because it's the cops shooting the cops.
Yeah, there's an interesting story here also about that Philando Castile NRA question. Like, why has the NRA not come out and spoken about this? In fact, that's what Michael Cohen over at the Boston Globe is asking. The silence.
Now, there's a liberal rag for you.
Yeah, he says is deafening on this. He says that in the days since a Minnesota police officer who shot and killed Philando Castile was acquitted of manslaughter, the outcry on both social media and in the streets of the Twin Cities has been loud and angry. But it's the silence about the Castile case that might be the most deafening. That liberals and advocacy groups like Black Lives Matter are furious about the verdict is not surprising. Philando Castile is yet another black man shot down by a police officer after years of law enforcement harassment. Before his needless and tragic death, Castile had previously been pulled over by the police an astounding 49 times. It's hard to think of a more telling story about the racially biased interactions between black Americans and law enforcement than a black man being pulled over 49 times by police and on the 50th time being shot down for doing nothing wrong, and then the officer who killed him being found not guilty of the charges.
And he misses the fact that, NPR reports that only six of those times was he ticketed for something that could be observed outside of the vehicle.
But why aren't conservatives up in arms? Why aren't gun owners full of indignation over a licensed gun owner being shot and killed by a police officer with no accountability and no punishment. They say that Philando Castile was, from all accounts, a model citizen. He worked in a school cafeteria where he'd memorized the names and food allergies of 500 of the students.
Wow.
More coming up here, a little bit more about Philando, your calls and thoughts. Then we'll get into America's toughest sheriff. What's going on with old Joe Arpaio? Things getting a little bit tough for him. A little hot water, perhaps, for him. We'll tell you more coming up. It's Free Talk Live. You just dial on in toll-free and join us here. Our number, 855-450-FREE, if you want, 855-450-3733. Otherwise, we can continue to talk about police corruption. And one of the kings of police corruption, Joe Arpaio, is back in the news, and Johnson has an update on what's going on with him. It's been a while since we've talked about old Sheriff Joe. We'll get the latest on what's been going on. I think he's in court, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
So we'll get into that coming up here. 855-450-FREE is our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. So if you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you really ought to join Dash. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low and transactions are fast. It can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Now, Dash is decentralized, and it's run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. You can find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org, and you can find out why. So we were looking into this story about, you know, why are the why hasn't the NRA issued a statement here? I mean, the Philando Castile case is not a new case. It's been going on for well over a year, I believe, at this point in the news. And what was just in the news is that the police officer who shot this innocent man to death on the side of the road after being pulled over for a burnout brake light. After the man, Mr. Castile, informed the officer, Officer Yanez, that he was indeed carrying a concealed weapon, which he was permitted to do, by the way, the cop shot him to death. And so the question is, why hasn't the NRA weighed in here? According to Michael Cohen at the Boston Globe, Philando Castile was, from all accounts, a model citizen. He worked in a school cafeteria where he'd memorized the names and food allergies of 500 students. And that should be enough reason for conservatives to be upset, but Castile was also a licensed and permitted gun owner. To avoid risk of being shot, he told the officer, who pulled him over, that he had a firearm on him, that he had a permit to carry it, and he was reaching for his license, not his weapon.
Well, yeah, I was reaching for his license immediately after being told to reach for his, for license and registration.
Correct. And that hardly mattered because within moments he'd been mortally wounded. Quite simply, Philando Castile is dead today because he was exercising his constitutionally protected right to bear arms.
If you watch the video, though, this cop just wanted to shoot this guy because, he says, don't pull it out to his gun. Yeah. And Castile responds,
I'm not pulling it or not
I'm
reaching.
I'm not taking my gun out. I'm getting my license or something
I disagree with the assessment. So I don't believe this. I believe this officer is unqualified to be an officer.
Well, right, because he's a blithering idiot.
You're saying he was too incompetent to want to kill him, that he just was a dummy?
This guy
dummy.
Was weeping, standing there shaking with his gun in his hand,
shouting,
holding
and screaming
on this woman after she just shot her boyfriend right there dead in front of her kid. I told him not to go for it.
Yes.
And she's like,
he was justifying it.
Officer, she's taking video, right? She's, she's Facebook Live in this, and she's saying, officer, he told you he wasn't going for it. He informed you that he's concealed carry permit holder. You just shot him dead. Like, she just lays it out for him. She's
cool as a cucumber.
For sure. She's got ice water in her veins, and this guy's coming unglued. Why is he coming unglued? Because he wasn't qualified to go up to somebody's window in the first place.
Yet the National Rifle Association, an organization that's nominally devoted to protecting the constitutional right of Americans to arm themselves to the teeth, has said nothing about the acquittal in the Castile case. Last July, when the shooting occurred, the NRA put out a statement that tepidly read, quote, "The reports from Minnesota are troubling and must be thoroughly investigated," unquote. an organization that used the shooting of 20 kindergartners in Newtown, Connecticut, to call for armed guards to be stationed in the nation's schools, said that they couldn't comment on an ongoing investigation. Some would argue the NRA is loath to alienate police officers who are a critically important constituency of the organization.
I tend to think that
that's what this is plays
a big role.
But after the massacre of five Dallas police officers last summer, the NRA was hardly reticent in defending the, quote, right of law-abiding Americans to carry firearms for the defense of themselves and others, unquote.
Yeah, it seems like they were ready to comment on that case before it was reached its conclusion. And now it has reached its conclusion. What do we think about that, NRA?
The Boston Globe's author continues, speculating that the real reason for the NRA's silence on Castile probably has more to do with the color of the victim's skin. As Shannon Watts of the pro-gun control group Moms Demand Action, it's a terrible group, by the way, they've tried to put forth their nonsense here in New Hampshire and thank goodness have not succeeded, pointed out in their tweet storm this weekend, such reticence from the NRA when black Americans are killed is nothing new. When Tamir Rice, remember this one, the 12-year-old who was carrying a BB gun or some sort of toy gun, was shot by police to death in Cleveland. And when John Crow, remember that one? That was when he was in a park and somebody had called the cops on him because he had a gun. The cops just rolled up and shot him.
It was really about that quick.
There's an interesting article from today that I could share here on this. It's the title is Geronimo Yanez, a previous arrest offers insight into the beleaguered officer's mind.
Can we talk about that coming up here? Let me finish this here. The real reason they say here. Okay, so Tamir Rice, we got that story. Then when John Crawford III was shot in an Ohio Walmart while carrying a toy gun. Shot to death.
Right. This is the guy looking at airsoft guns in Walmart.
Yep.
Right?
Never threatened anybody. Never did anything to deserve.
Well, there are
being
accusations
shot.
That he pointed the gun, the airsoft gun at people's the direction of people, but I mean I haven't seen it. I've seen nothing other than allegations.
Mm-hmm. Well, in theory, there should be video of that. I mean, there was surveillance video in the store.
That would be an important part of that case, yeah.
So anyway, John Crawford was shot in that Walmart. The NRA didn't issue a statement defending the state's open carry laws, which theoretically should have protected both men. Yet when Trayvon Martin was killed in Florida, the NRA defended stand your ground laws, but failed to note, as the organization often does, that had Martin been armed, he could have protected himself. When a South Carolina police officer shot a 26-year-old black man who was defending his home from intruders, the NRA said nothing. The NRA promotes gun ownership with the dubious claim that a gun will protect Americans, their families, and their homes from criminals. And I think that it does. So, I mean, that's the author's opinion that it's dubious. And there's plenty of examples of people who have successfully protected their homes with guns, including, you know, children in homes getting a gun and protecting their families. Those things have happened. But going on here, it says, considering the organization's silence when it comes to the deaths of black gun owners, one might easily conclude they don't mean criminals of all races, that they mean black criminals. The simple fact is that the NRA's core support and opposition to gun control laws in general comes from white rural Americans. Those Americans, many of whom have also voted for Donald Trump, tend to have a fearful, conspiratorial, and racially tinged view of the world. Now, that's true of the liberals as well, let's be clear. There's plenty of liberals out there that have a fearful, conspiratorial, and racially tinged view of the world as well. So, obviously this article has its particular political viewpoint, but they do make some good points.
I'm interested in the facts in this article. This author's opinions stink.
Yeah.
But it's the facts of the article that interest me.
All right. So coming up here, Johnson, you had a related story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
two.
Yep. And you can share that with us. And you can share your thoughts with us at 855-450-FREE. More on the Philando Castile case. Geronimo Yanez. We'll get into a different stop. You've got details on a previous stop of his. And what can we learn from that? We'll find out coming up on Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free and join us right here. If you want, you can bring up anything at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. We're going to get into another bad cop, Joe Arpaio, the so-called America's Toughest Sheriff. Johnson's got that story. But first, we're digging a little bit deeper into Philando Castile's death, specifically at the hands of Officer Geronimo Yanez, who is no longer an officer for now.
Good.
He was relieved of his duties, and I'm guessing they're not going to rehire him, considering they just settled for $3 million with Philando's mother.
They may have to. You know how these unions
are.
And you know, these unions are incredibly powerful. Unions tend to only be powerful when it comes to public sector workers because, well, there's really no boss. There's no employer. The employer is the taxpayer, and there's really no one who's less powerful than a taxpayer. I mean, these are people that are being extorted for their money already. What kind of power could they possibly have?
So we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. Of course, you're welcome to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And we do have Skype as well. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. If you want to help support Free Talk Live, then please get your shopping done over at shop.freetalklive.com. You go to shop.freetalklive.com, and there's links there to Amazon, US, UK, and Canada. You just click into the right Amazon for you, get your shopping taken care of, and Free Talk Live benefits because we get a portion of your purchase price when you start your shopping through shop.freetalklive.com. Johnson, you found a story about Officer Yanez, the man who killed Philando Castile, shot him to death multiple times in front of a little child and his girlfriend on the side of the road. And somebody did a little digging. They found some, a previous incident of Officer Yanez's. Where did you get the story from?
That's correct. So the story is actually coming from, what is the source here? It is citypages.com.
Okay. That's a website where they've got a pretty detailed forum. So if I'm recalling the City Pages correctly, or maybe it's City Data. Is this a forum post?
I think you're thinking of City Data. This
I'm thinking
sort of
City
like
Data.
More like a news.
Okay.
So that kind of type of organization.
Got it.
Anyway, the story goes, the day former St. Anthony officer Geronimo Yanez was acquitted in the death of Philando Castile, musician Maida Miller revealed that the same officer had pointed a gun at her 27-year-old brother in the same area in a similar situation not long before he shot Castile.
City Pages, by the way, is a Minneapolis-focused website. So This is a local site.
The subsequent police report provides some insight into the beleaguered ex-officer's mindset and the stress he felt in his last year on the job. On the night of November 6, 2015, 8 months to the day of Castile's deadly traffic stop, James Miller was driving home from a party in St. Paul to his home in St. Anthony Park, where he passed Yanez on Highway 280. It was about 9 p.m. and Yanez was parked on the side of the freeway, having just pulled over another driver. James passed close enough to Yanez that the officer felt a strong gust of wind. Yeah, on the side of a highway, you think? Anyway, according to the police report, the vehicle almost killed me, Yanez wrote. I screamed because I had no place to move the vehicle screamed by me. I thought I was going to die.
Well, okay, so first off, let's point out that
he's a thinker, that Yanez.
This is the reality that police officers deal with every day, right? Like, they're on the side of the road.
Some do get hit.
In some states, you're supposed to get over, but that only makes the road more deadly because people are merging because they have to get over because somebody's got their gumballs sitting on the side of the road, flashing all over the place. Emergency lights are intended to distract people. That's their job, to grab attention. And then, police officers get knocked into ditches all over America. That's why traffic stops should be important. A traffic stop should be important enough that you're willing to have a government employee's life put on the line, because this is a deadly activity.
It's risky.
That's why it should not be for frivolous things. That's why Philando Castile being pulled over 49 times in the last 10 years or whatever the number was shows that there's a lot of frivolous activity going on as far as these pullovers.
It's revenue generation.
Yeah, if somebody's going 9, 10, 11, 12 miles an hour over the speed limit, and they're not driving recklessly or carelessly or whatever terminology one wishes to use, then maybe it's not worth pulling them over because it's not worth having a police officer die.
Mm.
Yep. So, again, you know, I thought he was going to die, you know, because a vehicle drove by him while he was on the side of the highway.
He said he was scared.
Yanez ran back to his squad and gave pursuit. Lights activated. James failed to pull over, but continued on, swerving in his lane, according to the report. I then observed the driver reaching down towards the center console.
I love the swerving in the lane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this is how ridiculous...
Suggesting he's drunk or out of control.
Well, yeah, but,
he's in his lane.
Right. This is how ridiculous driving in America has gotten. They can now get you for staying within your lane.
Yeah. I then observed the driver reaching down towards the center console and the floorboards of the car, Yanez wrote. I believed that he was reaching for a weapon and was in fear for my life.
Oh, no.
Again. This is not again, you know, again, because he had been passed on the side of the highway. James finally came to a stop on a residential street. Yanez wrote that he unholstered his gun and pointed it at the driver, ordering him to stay in the car with his hands up. He was arrested without incident. But police only found a 5-inch pocket knife on him. I left the area.
He was probably going to stab this officer with his 5-inch pocket knife, right? Yeah.
What did he arrest him for? Driving recklessly?
I guess. I left the area to recuperate, Yanez wrote. I was upset, mad, and terrified that I was almost hit by a vehicle traveling at 60 to 70 miles per hour. My body would have been mutilated if Miller would have hit me with his vehicle. A sergeant arrived and volunteered to take custody over so that James so that Yanez could take some time to relax.
I mean,
this guy sounds like he's pushing, he's bucking for a paid leave to me.
He sounds like a wussy.
Yeah. James Miller was charged with a third degree DWI. He had no prior history of drunk driving, though. Hmm. Marta says her brother James has his license back now and works as a cook. To avoid jail time, he paid a fine and took classes. He's currently on probation.
You know, it seems to me like if you are going to take a job as a cop, then you have to understand that you're going to be on the side of some roads and that there's a good chance that, you know, you might get hit or you're going to have some close calls. And, the idea that I think he said screamed.
You're not supposed they're not supposed to have close calls. You know why? They're supposed to position their vehicles behind the car and in further into the highway so that if something were to happen, if somebody were to come closer to the side of the road, they would hit their car.
Which might slam into them. I mean, I don't know if that's going
to help. Not if the parking brake is deployed the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it might move forward somewhat, but it shouldn't.
Well, a semi-truck slamming into a
semi-truck, but not a normal vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, not a normal vehicle.
I get what you're saying there.
Yeah. Well, look, there's work that needs to be done on the side of the road. I do it on a regular basis as a firefighter. I haven't been in a situation where it's like, wee! Oh, they almost got me. You know, like I just, you know, you got to pay attention when you're out there.
Right.
And look, another thing has happened as far as police go. I've attempted to, you know, being pulled over, attempted to find a place to pull over that was sort of safe.
Oh, yeah. They don't like that.
They want you to pull over right there on the side of the road.
Right.
In some cases.
Block a whole lane.
It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
It's just an authoritarian obedience thing. They want you to pull over right then. And if you try to take your time to find a parking lot or, you know, side street or something like that, man,
it could help if you're going to do that to, you know, deploy your emergency lights or deploy your
I've done that.
Turn signal.
I turn my lights on, turn them off to signal that I've understand what's going on, put my flashers on, and I continue riding to find someplace good to pull over. I get a whoop, whoop. You know, and then the flashes, the flashing lights in the back.
Oh, mine, once in Florida, a cop came right up on me like I was going slow, and he just, tailgated me as close as he possibly could, just and doing the flashing lights and everything, and just being as intimidating as he possibly could from behind me in the cruiser.
It's when you come up to your window, you ask him, are you okay, officer? Have you been drinking?
Yeah, that'll go well.
855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. More about Yanez coming up. You can share your thoughts. Free Talk Live. Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. You dial on in here toll-free if you want to join us on the radio waves. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype And the Skype username is lrn.fm. We've been talking about Geronimo Yanez, who is the officer who shot to death one Philando Castile, who is a young gentleman that was, you know, normal person, just had a job, and didn't really have any significant criminal record besides traffic violations, of which the cops have been targeting him very heavily, apparently. He ended up being shot to death by Officer Geronimo Yanez. And Johnson, you found an interesting story over at citypages.com, which is a Minneapolis area website, the right. News and opinion site. And they did a little digging on Officer Yanez, finding another previous incident where Yanez got a little frightened on the side of the road by somebody who ostensibly passed too close to him. Now, we don't really know how close the passing was. Mm. That's not made clear. There's no video of this incident. So you have to go with what Officer Yanez had to say about how close it was. And he claimed that he felt a strong gust of wind and that he screamed as a result of that. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine a, you know, fully grown police officer standing by the side of the road screaming as a car passes by him. I mean, cars pass by you all the time when you're doing pullovers. It's a risky endeavor. That this guy, his reaction, even if it was particularly close, you would think that, you know, a more standard, I'm used to this kind of reaction would be, whew, that was a close one. But to scream as a result of having been passed closely, that just seems like... He seems like a mama's boy to me.
I just remember being on my bicycle, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, riding around Bradenton, Florida, and how often cars would go by me.
Close.
And you would feel the gust of wind.
Sure.
You know, and there's times when it was like a truck or something and you'd kind of look up or whatever. I just don't... Was I braver as a 14-year-old on a bicycle than this officer?
You definitely don't want an officer that might pass out from the vapors. My stars!
Oh, my. Oh. So he, you know, believed he was almost killed. He said, I had no place to move as the vehicle screamed by me. I thought I was going to die. Then, as he...
I thought I was going to die!
Right. Then he gets back in the squad car... after the man who was driving that he was chasing allegedly failed to pull over while supposedly swerving in his lane, he says, I then observed the driver reaching down toward the center console and floorboards of the car. I believed he was reaching for a weapon.
I mean, that might be where somebody would keep their registration, you know? I mean,
or he's throwing his drugs or whatever.
The
right?
registration has to be somewhere.
And I was in fear for my life again. I mean, it just seems like this guy is constantly scared.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you, Mark. Your assessment here that this dude should never have been in any kind of situation in which he has to deal with unknown members of the public. Because apparently they were all a threat to him. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Let's go to Ralph. He's in... You're not in Minnesota. Oh, he wants to talk about Minnesota. Ralph in New Jersey.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, I always like to believe that black criminality is driven by, you know, El Negro and Iran.
This is not a criminal, sir. Against, are you calling on the topic against, that we're discussing?
Yes. That's exactly what I had in mind.
Philando Castile is not a criminal.
The Minnesota case. Okay. But nevertheless, you know.
Philando Castile
cleared.
Was the victim here. He wasn't a criminal.
Justice was served here, nevertheless.
Huh?
Right? The cop is no longer... The cop is discharged. The cop is terminated from service.
The cop was terminated, but he wasn't found guilty.
Do you think you or I, if we would have shot somebody who was not going for a weapon, would have just been fired from our jobs? Or do you think we would have been found guilty of manslaughter and put in prison?
What about the fact that this case reminds me of the Peter Liang case in New York, okay?
He
was scared of his life, though. The Peter Liang.
I don't know what you're
I'm sorry. I haven't looked up. Okay, well, I can Google search
it
real quick.
Peter Liang.
Okay,
Peter Liang.
Okay,
look
Peter?
Up.
Peter
Liang. Right now. L-I, yes.
L-I what?
L-I-A-N-G.
Okay.
You know, that wasn't a black-white situation. Why does it make this into a black-white situation when in fact it was not? That's a big lie that came out of this sort of case.
I don't know if it's a black-white situation, and I've tried not to talk about it as a black-white situation.
No.
But what I see here is a man who has been pulled over 49 times. And I'm not going to claim to be white, but I am going to claim that I don't look black. And that kind of crap happened to me, I'd be outraged. I'd be at City Hall demanding some badges.
But I still maintain that black criminality has to do with the war on police by the animal Obama.
The war on bullies?
What does white black criminality have to do with Philando Castile?
If you see, you need to look at it in that light.
But what light? Like, it's okay.
You're not making any sense.
It's okay to shoot black people because they're black?
Women should look like they are victims all the time.
Wait. Look, man, Philando Castile is a dude. It doesn't matter. He's not part of the great black establishment that's attempting to work with Barack Obama to undermine Filipino-United States relationships. That's ridiculous. He's a he was a cafeteria worker attempting to feed his family.
What?
A cafeteria worker.
Is that what he was?
Yes.
He had a job. As crazy as that sounds. He had a concealed carry permit. He went through the background checks to be able to carry a gun. Concealed carry permit holders, difficult for you to believe. Go ahead.
Why would this man tell the cop, I have a gun?
Because he did. In some states, it's legal. You legally
In a lot of states, it's the law. And so if you're if you don't know across the board what all the rules are everywhere and you want to be as safe as you can, that's probably something that you could do. I'm not going to make that recommendation because obviously it can lead to you getting shot to death. But I understand why somebody would do it.
Thank you. I would not. Thank you for saying that, white guilty. I would not make that recommendation. You know, okay.
But in some places, you get arrested.
I'm going to go on the record as saying I have no guilt at all for my particular race if I've got a race at all. Yeah. I'm not white guilty. Screw you, you old crazy bastard. Now, let me just go on the record as further saying the evidence in this case shows that not only the officer, but that many officers in the city of Minneapolis target blacks. And I don't know why.
But the fact of the matter is the video was not the entirety of that case. There was a police side that we have to... The video was not the entirety... The whole entire case was not based upon that video that you saw. Okay?
Yeah, the case was based on the cop claiming he was terrified.
And that was the case with Peter Liang as well. He went against departmental rules, discharging his gun in a dark stairwell. That was the case of Peter Liang.
But he got no prison time.
Let me tell you about the Peter Liang case.
I'm looking at it right here. No prison time for ex NYPD officer Peter Liang in fatal shooting.
So this guy blasted somebody when he shouldn't have.
Yours truly was involved in the protest, to bring about justice for Peter Liang, because we truly believe as a nation person.
Is Liang the cop or the cop? Okay.
That was a miscarriage of justice. Okay.
And so wait, you think that cop should have been found guilty, the Liang cop?
It should have been a mistrial, in my opinion. He should not have been brought on charges of manslaughter.
So you don't think he should have been facing anything? Well, he was found not guilty. So shouldn't you be happy about that?
Okay.
Am I right, Mark? This Liang.
Peter Liang was convicted, actually.
Oh, he was convicted, but didn't get any prison time.
But didn't get any jail time.
Well,
again,
I see.
Because of community pressure.
Wrong. Did he shoot an innocent man? Who did he shoot to death?
I don't care what Peter Liang did. This is what you do when you derail a conversation, Ralph. The fact is, you called in about Philando Castile. I know something about that case. You talked about a case that I don't know that much about. I just have cursory information, and you're acting like this represents everything.
He can't say anything about Castile because Castile's unassailable.
That's because it's an ironclad case, and if you're on the side of the cop here, I've really got to question your motives.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. Hour number three is on the way. We got Joe Arpaio, the update on him coming up.
This is Riley Blake, producer of the Free Talk Live Daily Digest. In addition to the Digest, I host my own weekly podcast called Anarcho Agenda, providing you liberty-oriented content without all the statism. Subscribe to Anarcho Agenda on iTunes, Google Play, or visit anarchoagenda.libsyn.com. That's anarchoagenda.libsyn, LIBSYN.com for further details.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can dial in toll-free. Join us on the radio. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
For those of you just tuning in, we've talked once again about the Philando Castile case, where Officer Yanez in Minneapolis had shot a man to death, or Minnesota. I think it was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shot a man to death, Philando Castile, on the side of the road after pulling him over ostensibly for a burnout brake light, but the officer admitted privately, he didn't tell Mr. Castile this, but he admitted privately that he pulled him over because he believed that he matched the description of a robbery suspect, which, again, is a likely story because they love to just pull people over with that excuse in their minds. When it's really just a fishing expedition. It was a young black gentleman riding with his girlfriend, and they figured maybe there'd be a marijuana scent coming out of the car or something else. They'd see a joint in the ashtray or a beer bottle on the floor. Just plain old
I want to know
police
what
work.
They mean when they say suspected robbery suspect, right? Do you mean that it was a young black man? I mean, do we need to check every young black man?
A wide nose, he said.
Right. He mentioned a wide nose. And, I mean, he didn't even go so far as mentioning the color of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All you have to say is a black man with a wide nose. That's kind of part of the definition of black man. And I just I find that to be the flimsiest of reasons.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But
right,
it's an excuse.
Now,
it's an excuse that they use – really, pretty common.
Right now in this county, you can believe that there is somebody suspected of a crime that has been described as a middle-aged white guy with brown hair and with graying sides.
But have you ever been pulled over with and been told that?
Not once.
Yeah.
And that's why this stuff just seems flimsy to me.
Sure.
You're
absolutely
sure you're going to have crimes. They're going to have been committed by somebody. And yes, some of those somebodies are going to have been black. In all likelihood, that puts it's a larger percentage of crimes, usually reported crimes, of people that are black. But that does not affect this gentleman here. Philando Castile was a law-abiding citizen shot down by an officer who clearly was unqualified to be on the job.
So, Johnson, you had shared some more about that, the cop, that case, Mr. Yanez. But Yanez, even though he's got other incidents in his past that have related, as we found out in the last hour, and if you missed that hour, you can always go and grab Free Talk Live over at freetalklive.com. The archives will be up later on tonight. The sheriff, on the other hand, has the opportunity to touch a whole lot more lives in a whole lot more damaging manner altogether. I mean, one cop can certainly hurt peaceful people, but they can only do as much as one man can. The sheriff, on the other hand, can set the policy. The sheriff can make decisions as to who should be targeted, to target more of a certain type of person than another. The sheriff can implement policies that are even more damaging because most of his officers will blindly obey it, as we were discussing earlier. A lot of departments in the United States have rules saying that you pretty much have to be a nincompoop unable to be in order to be hired at the department. You can't be too smart in some departments. I believe New Haven, Connecticut was notorious for this particular departmental policy where if you had over 100 IQ or something like that, you weren't allowed to actually work there. So, Johnson, you've got an update on Joe Arpaio, the so-called toughest sheriff in America.
Right.
Who was in charge of the Phoenix, Arizona sheriff's...
24 years.
Yeah, Maricopa County, I guess.
24 years, Joe Arpaio was a tough-talking sheriff in Arizona, famous for cracking down on illegal immigration.
And drug dealers, mm-hmm. and prostitutes, and putting them all in a terrible camp. That was like an outdoor jail that, you know, he would put the prisoners out there in like pink pajamas or something like that and then feed them just
bologna,
gruel.
Yeah,
just
bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, rotting bologna.
I guess what he's famous for in conservative circles is about a decade ago, Arpaio, who's been dubbed America's toughest sheriff.
I think he dubbed himself that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he started instructing his deputies to make traffic stops and detain any unauthorized immigrants they encountered. Then they'd turn the immigrants over to federal agents for deportation. He was voted out of his Maricopa County office in November.
Really?
But now faces his own legal troubles. A criminal trial begins Monday in which he is accused of ignoring a federal judge's order to curtail his crackdown. Many in the Latino community are happy to see the tables turned on him.
I'm surprised he lost the election. I mean,
can you imagine if he actually gets convicted of something and ends up in one of
his very own prison? Well, they'll segregate him.
There was a story
a couple
years ago where a sheriff ended up in the jail that was named after him.
Was that the one that was like slinging methamphetamine?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
And like
Colorado
and boy prostitutes and the whole deal.
Yeah.
Well, many of in the Latino community are happy to see the tables turned on him. These immigration raids tore our neighborhood apart, says Lydia Guzman, an activist who helped sue Arpaio over these tactics. I see different families with kids. I see, you know, people enjoying themselves, she said at a crowded Mexican restaurant not far away from where many of Arpaio's operations took place. This is what it should have been all along, not people living in fear and trying to hide.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011... a federal judge told Arpaio that he could not detain immigrants just because they lacked legal status, since that job is primarily for federal agents. Yet, for about 18 months, Arpaio's deputies violated the order. They kept arresting unauthorized immigrants and dropping them off with Border Patrol. When the judge found out years later, he found Arpaio in civil contempt of court. Then, last fall, under President Obama, the Justice Department decided to criminally prosecute Arpaio for disobeying the judge.
Wow.
The charge against Arpaio is criminal contempt of court, a misdemeanor.
I wonder who he crossed, you know? Like, he was in it to win it for
this
a long time.
Seems like something that would just be left unmentioned for pretty much any other sheriff.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was the winner of so many elections. I mean, he was so popular for so long, despite the horrifying statements about his jail facilities and other, you know, crazy. Remember the story where he actually had his sheriffs raid the city's offices? Like, he was even going up against,
the
people within the bureaucracy. I mean, this guy could get away with anything for the longest time. And, you know, he's pounding his chest about how tough a sheriff he is and, you know, proving it by spending as low of a dollar amount as he could possibly spend to feed people in the jail, bragging about the low quality of the food and the low cost, you know, bragging at spending 11 cents or something like that on a lunch for
the
prisoners.
I think it's also fair to mention that one is considered in this country to be innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of people in his jail would have been pre-trial, therefore to be considered innocent. People like that should not be treated as lowest of the low. Now, I'm speaking as somebody who has been convicted of a crime. I understand why people are all like, law and order, justice. We can have that conversation about how treating bad people badly, putting them in a place full of bad people and treating them badly turns out pretty badly.
Well, I don't know if he was putting the pretrial people in Tent City. That may have been just for the convicts, so I don't to want to jump to that conclusion.
I thought it, okay.
But regardless, there were some pretty horrible things that happened to the people that were in Tent City. And even if you're in Tent City, even if you were convicted of something, doesn't mean you were convicted of something violent, and nor does it mean that you should be dying from thirst, which is something that happened. If I'm recalling, was it a pregnant woman at one point that couldn't get access to water? There's been so many stories about this guy over the years. And, you know, just the attitude that he has is something that really turned a lot of conservatives on, because he's tough on crime. You know, the American
scumbag
tough.
Conservatives.
But any evidence that being tough on crime is successful, I'd love to hear about.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
Well, there's pluses and minuses to it from what I've seen. But, you know,
there's still crime in the Philippines.
There are lots of countries with a lot lower crime that treat their, you know, convicts completely differently than they do in the U.S.
But now the tables have turned on Arpaio. He's in court now on contempt of court charges. And so that's why I say, you know, who did this guy cross? What did he do to deserve the Justice Department that was presumably teamed up with him for so long to turn against him?
One of Arpaio's lawyers, Jack Walenchik, called the timing of the prosecution problematic.
Let's get into it here a little bit more about what's the latest on Joe Arpaio. We'll share that with you coming up, and you can share your thoughts toll-free at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You may join us right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You want to comment on America's toughest sheriff in his showdown with a judge, a federal judge that is coming at him for contempt of court. Turns out old Joe Arpaio thought he was above the law, and for the most part he was for about 24 years. But the tables have turned, the tides have turned against him. And he's now facing criminal contempt of court charges, it sounds like, here. We'll share more with you. You can share your thoughts with us, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. And I do want to let you know about MyPillow. It's a great pillow. I look forward to it.
Minnesota.
It's from Minnesota. You're right. You're right. Good point. But this is one of the good things that came out of Minnesota, and it is a great pillow. I look forward to laying down on it every night because it really works. It's designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. And I've been using it now for over a year. Mark, you also have the MyPillow.
Love it.
And unlike a regular pillow, you can wash MyPillow. You can put it in the washer and the dryer. It's designed for that, and it works well. In fact, it's backed with a 10-year warranty. And if for some reason you don't like it, for whatever reason that might be, you can send it back to the company within the first 60 days, and they'll send you your purchase price back. You get 50% off MyPillow by using code FTL, like Free Talk Live. That's code FTL, like Free Talk Live, over at MyPillow.com. So we're going to go to your calls and thoughts, and then, Johnson, you've got some more from, where was it? Was it the Phoenix? Who's reporting on this?
This on Arpaio is actually NPR.
Oh, NPR. Okay. So we're going to get into that coming up here. But first, John's in Michigan listening online. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Wait, give me a minute.
Certainly.
We don't necessarily have a whole minute, but if you can come back sooner rather than later. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm just going to go ahead and drop that call because it's not a music show. Maybe you want to share your wonderful tastes in music with us, but, sort of by the nature of talk radio, we don't really do music. Now, every now and then.
Just really don't do waiting around for a minute while you
figure out your dumb prank. No, we don't do that either.
Dumb prank.
Every now and then,
show there, guy. You know, even if you're going to call and prank, at least
play button
be funny, be
Johnson,
prepared.
You long for the days back when we used to have really good prankers.
Aliens, I like them.
But I'm sorry, something happened and they just disappeared. They dried up. There are no good prankers anymore.
Oh, no. Every now and then we'll get a decent one.
Cobra Commander.
2012.
Cobra Commander. It's 2012. Ian, it's
it was
5 years
decade.
Ago. Half a decade ago.
Well, I mean, there have been some okay ones between now and then. Jamie came back. Jamie from Kentucky.
Jamie Told You So is not a pranker.
You think he's real?
He's just some redneck.
I don't know, man. I think he's. I think he might. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe all the maybe the prankers have taken it to a next level, and all the chronic callers are actually pranks, and we just don't get it. They're too meta for us.
I see.
You know, Sarah from Arizona. Yeah.
The prankers have gone to Facebook to be able to troll people directly.
Or I should say Sarah and James from Arizona. And where's the island guy from? Who's
Ralph?
Ralph from
the Philippines.
Originally
from the Philippines,
but now he's
lives
New Jersey.
Jersey now.
Yeah, Jersey. Yeah, they're all just prank calls.
Well,
I mean, come on, El Animal or El Negro Animal. How can that not be a prank?
There has been for a long time theories that some of these people are prankers, and I don't know.
Crappy theories.
Anyway, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Like Freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We do, Mark, have an option for those that do want to play music on a talk radio show. You will sell them airtime on our podcast. So we've actually had a couple of...
An artist package for musical artists.
Where we feature their song after the show.
Yeah.
And that way it makes sense, right? Like, it's not music interrupting the middle of a talk show. It's coming after our show's over. And, oh, hey, you guys listening, you might like this song. Mm-hmm. Here you go. And then those who want to continue to listen can do that. And those who don't really care about that style of music can just punch out and be done with the show at that point. So if you really want our listeners to hear your favorite song, well, we'd be happy to sell you one of those ad packages. Just reach out to mark@freetalklive.com. Anyway, back to the story here from NPR on Joe Arpaio facing charges from a federal court.
As I mentioned earlier, one of Arpaio's lawyers, Jack Walenchik, called the timing of the prosecution problematic. It was filed only 2 weeks before his election, he said. Arpaio's supporters believe that the criminal case is really about politics, Democrats trying to hurt a Republican sheriff. Those supporters hope.
But wait, they haven't dropped the charge. It's now a Trump administration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they say the supporters hoped the Trump administration would drop the criminal case. Mm. But even though President Trump is friendly with Arpaio and the two see eye to eye on immigration, prosecutors are moving forward.
Trump's got his own problems.
Yeah, Walenchik says that the case is hypocritical. The federal government is prosecuting him for doing something that the federal government told him to do, he said. Border Patrol has been telling local law enforcement forever to call them if they encounter an illegal alien. Walenchik plans to argue the judge's order wasn't clear and that Arpaio did not intentionally violate it. This criminal case stems from a long-standing racial profiling lawsuit Latino drivers and passengers brought against Arpaio and his office. In 2013, the judge ruled that Arpaio's immigration enforcement tactics unfairly targeted Latinos. Arpaio also gained... Well, it's kind of hard when you're in Arizona to not... I would say. Anyway, Arpaio also gained national attention for Tent City, an outdoor jail that he opened in the 1990s as part of his tough-on-crime stance. Inmates lived outdoors in the Arizona heat and were issued striped jumpsuits and pink underwear. His successor announced earlier this year that it would be shut down. If Arpaio, now 85... is convicted, he faces a fine or up to 6 months in prison. Though this case is really about whether or not Arpaio purposefully disobeyed a federal judge's order, Lydia Guzman sees this trial as a chance to hold Arpaio accountable for the impact his immigration crackdown had on the Latino community. His legend will be that he destroyed our community and he got busted for it.
And only had to go to jail for up to six months.
Yeah.
Which is your typical maximum sentence for a contempt of court charge. In some cases,
but maybe
judges...
during that 6 months, they can throw him in one of those hot boxes that he made people sit in. That
would, you know, make him the last one.
Imagine if he just dies in it, because that's probably what would happen. That somebody who's 85 thrown into one of those, you know, horror factories.
That's
that he
terrible.
Created.
Yeah,
maybe he should be the last prisoner in the Tent City.
No, that's not the way this is done. it's terrible. No matter who gets thrown in there.
Yeah, but it would be a taste of his own medicine, though. I mean, there's some irony, isn't there?
Well, if people are scared about the notion of that happening to him, then they should be scared about the notion of that happening to anyone. You don't take people, bad people, put them in a bad place full of other bad people,
treat
them badly, feed them bad food, dress them in bad clothes, and expect them to get out and act good.
Even Joe Arpaio,
What kind of lunatic thinks this happens?
See, that's the thing. I don't expect Joe Arpaio to get out and act good no matter how he's
treated.
Joe
Arpaio's 85 years old. He's a self-solving problem.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And kudos to his successor for making the sane humane decision to shut down Tent City after 20 years or however long it's been around. More coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE is our number, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything here on Free Talk Live. The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the liberty media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com. Free Talk Live, you dial toll free. And bring up whatever you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. So Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
To your phone calls and thoughts. Speaking of Skype, that's where we're going next with Michael on the line. Michael, where are you calling from tonight?
I'm up in Ohio.
Excellent. Welcome. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, you guys were talking about Arpaio and jail and prison and blah, blah, blah. And earlier this morning, much like yesterday, I got to listen to Morning Talk Radio and was listening to Public Radio International. I wish for the life of me I could remember the show name, but I can't. But the host, she was talking to a guy. He was a writer, a journalist or something, and would always try to talk, you know, try to learn about the correction system and would always get shot down. But then he decided, let me see about getting a job. So he got a job as a local corrections officer. They asked him very little about his background. They, you know, they were like, hey, great, somebody with a pulse.
Yeah, it's fine. It's hard to find people for that
job.
It's
getting harder and harder,
The pay was really low. And apparently they failed to look at the fact that he actually served time in an Iranian prison for, you know, being a dissident within that regime. So listening to this, it was about a 20-minute long story, you know, to this person who obviously experienced a pretty rough prison term, then coming to the U.S., learning the only way you can actually learn anything about it is to work in it, because so few people want to put themselves into, you know, such dangerous work for, what, 20, 22, 24,000 a year, maybe, depending on where you are. So even, and when it was interesting, though, because while he was explaining all this, you know, he wished prison upon nobody as far as it actually being a form of punishment or of corrections or of, you know, somebody feeling that they got justice and got closure for a crime that was committed. Apparently, this is the idea of the U.S. prison system is a pretty tough concept to grasp, much like caning is a difficult concept for we Westerners to grasp. So just wanted to throw that info out there and let you all maybe chew on that for a while.
Yeah, I know that Daryl B. Perry, who's one of our other show hosts, was actually a corrections officer for a short period of time. And anybody that's been in there as either an officer or as an inmate, you can see the turnover. I mean, it's a pretty high level of turnover in that job.
I wouldn't
stressful.
I wouldn't say that I'm like on the side of the convicts. Even if I, as an ex-convict, ended up as a correctional officer, you know, look, what can you do to make people's lives better other than not acting like a complete a-hole? I mean, that's really I have a great deal of sympathy for people who work those positions, because it's a really tough job. You're working with jerks all day long. The pay is low, and you know,
I wonder
it
how many times
them.
Though that concept that, or that just that the way that you feel about that, I wonder how many times that's been used for a corrections officer to justify them helping one of their favorite inmates, you know, smuggle in some goodies.
Oh, I'm sure that so, it's been done.
God has blessed those officers.
As a matter of fact, I can assure you that it has been done. Like,
they interviewed this guy that was a corrections officer. It's been done, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I've been there.
They get caught from it all
when
the time.
It's been done.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead, Michael.
Arpaio, just as far as Arpaio putting him through that, I think I don't remember which of you three was mentioning it, but the an eye for an eye leaves the world blind, you know. Well, let's serve justice, but the revenge may not be the best.
You're probably right about that. Hey, thank you, Michael, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you, and thanks for the thoughts. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733.
Justice is an incredibly difficult thing to get right. Mm-hmm. So, I can tell you that moment in my prison career when it went from sort of me just wanting to get out to me getting embittered by how long I was. Fortunately, I didn't spend much more time in prison after that. Some things changed in my case. The Florida Supreme Court ruled in my favor. I was released.
You were in for nine years.
Yeah, I was put 8.5 years. Okay. Put into a work release program and then released. But it was getting really difficult to keep a positive mental attitude there as my sentence kind of kept getting changed by the vagaries of the system. As time went by, you continue to act right all the time. You don't get any disciplinary reports. And then they just lengthen your sentence because some other guy who had a similar charge did something wrong when he got out or whatever it might be. And those things were beginning to embitter me. And those are the difficulties that are sort of set before a judge. How in the world are they going to figure out what the right period of time to put a given person in that is sort of going to rehabilitate them? Or what is just? Define just. Is 10 years just? Well, if 10 years is just, is 9 years just, but 11 years isn't? Like, it's just, it has to be arbitrary. And legislators have taken more and more power away from judges. Judges bear the onus of these things, but it's not the judges who do this stuff. It's the legislators on up the line that have taken the power away from judges. Many times, the prison staff has little to no power.
Yeah,
over,
no, they just got to keep you there.
But those are the ones that have day-to-day access to you and may or may not figure out. I remember my boss in prison, Sergeant Anderson, said he was just, for whatever reason, he decided to just give an assessment to the inmates that worked for him of who was going to come back and who wasn't.
And come back to work for him?
Come back to prison.
To prison, right.
To return to prison. And, I happened to come in on the tail end of this one, and my friend and I came in, and he correctly assessed that I would not return to prison and that my friend who was working with me definitely would.
And did he? He did.
Yeah, he's in prison right now. He just, every time he gets out and something goes wrong, he decides crack smoking is going to be a good idea for him.
Oh, boy.
Then that happens, and he decides, well, time to break into some
businesses.
Time
to rob somebody. Need more crack.
Yeah, steal. He doesn't rob.
Steal.
But,
okay.
Yeah, and then off he goes. And for another 5, 6, 7 year stint, he was a habitual offender then.
Jeez.
So, what do you do? What do you do?
Legalize crack.
Well, yeah, that would probably... he'd probably just smoke himself to death at that point.
Well, problem solved.
Yeah, indeed.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like
but
freedom.
The point I'm trying to make here is if Sergeant Anderson had the ability to make decisions on what my sentence would have been like,
he might have been better than a judge.
He would have been better off than a judge, and certainly better off than the legislators and in Tallahassee and whomever on these on how long I should have served, because he's like, he knows whether I'm going to come back or not. Isn't that the point? I mean, the eye for the eye makes the whole world blind things very, very true.
Greg's in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Greg. Watching us on online or listening online. Go ahead.
Online, yeah. I guess I'll be the subject with my call, but this is all fascinating for me. I wanted to talk about bringing the ideas of liberty, same thing you guys talk about, to the internet and on the internet. So what I mean by that is, we have Facebook, we have Google, Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft. And these companies are kind of an oligopoly where you kind of join these large, quote-unquote, states
let's say this Facebook, to chat, to leave comments.
Right.
And they're certainly useful, and there are economies of scale. So Facebook has a lot of money, they can hire a lot of people, and they can be miles ahead of, let's say, WordPress or something like that.
Right.
So people prefer it for that reason, but they give up their liberty in the sense that they can't make their profile red. They can't install analytics. They can't do anything really unless Facebook
allows
Right.
MySpace back in the day, and I don't know how old you are, Greg, but back in the day with MySpace, you could design your page very thoroughly. Sparkles and themes and all kinds of stuff that could change the way it looked. Mine was Captain America-like, but anybody could do anything they wanted. Facebook doesn't allow that.
All right, there's more coming up here, Greg. Stand by. We'll bring you back here, let you get deeper into where you're going with this. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. It's like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can join us on the radio. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us here. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We'll try to get you in here tonight. If you don't get in tonight, no big deal. We've got a live show that we do 7 nights a week. Every night, 7 to 10 at night, Eastern Time. You can join us here, and you can take control of the airwaves. With you tonight, you've got me, Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
And don't forget, we've also got all kinds of cool features on our website, so head on over to freetalklive.com. Where you can easily get interactive on the Free Talk Live forum. We just had a new person, longtime listener of the show, new person to the forum, or I guess returning to the forum, Blackie, who many of our listeners may remember from the Free Talk Live BBS. So it's cool to see some of the old old faces showing up on the new Free Talk Live forum. It's free to interact with it. You just have to post an introduction post, which is the point of that is to keep out the spammers,
yeah,
basically.
Sure.
So you just have to post a brief introduction and you'll be given access to post in the full forums over at forum.freetalklive.com. That's forum.freetalklive.com. As we go back to the phones and the fun, Greg is in New York. You had brought up these websites that you called an oligopoly. I mean, it's not really an accurate term because on the internet, anybody can compete. Anybody can create a website. Anybody can, you know, have a website take off. Facebook was not what it is today when it started, right? It was a small, smallish website that was based only for college students to kind of have an online yearbook, basically, was the original idea as I understood it. And it's turned into this behemoth. But obviously not the average person can't go and drop $1 billion on designing a website, but you can make a website. And there are some competitors out there that I think are doing a decent job of giving people alternatives to these platforms like Facebook. But go on with your point.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, sure, I mean, in theory, a person could sit in their bedroom and make something exactly like Facebook, given enough time, maybe. This is like a microcosm of what you see with the state. When you have a lot of resources, a lot of people choose to go and just sacrifice their liberty to be able to just use Facebook. And that's where all their friends are.
Yeah.
And they can see the photos, right?
Sure.
But of course, the downside is they don't own their own data. They don't have control.
Right.
And that's the trade-off. So I think what we're going to see in the future, though, is that a lot of stuff is going to be moved to the internet. So now we have Bitcoin. It's already decentralized control of money.
Yep.
So, you know, if I want to send you money, no third-party middleman can block me from doing that.
That's correct. That's a huge advancement in the field of money.
Exactly. And I feel the same thing will happen soon with social media. So you will be able to own your own identity, have your own data profiles without relying on Facebook, just like you're not relying on a bank when you basically send Bitcoin. So I think in the future, what's going to happen is very simple. Government, a lot of government functions will be run by a community through software. Everything from money to taxation to unconditional basic income and single-payer systems will be local. You're going to have a neighborhood run it, and the people are going to vote in a cryptographic manner for each of these policies locally. And I think that would be, you'll have a lot more choice.
Well, hold on.
Right now with countries.
That's quite possible.
And I'd like to see more choices.
I'd like to direct you to Ethereum. It's a platform that would allow you to do such a thing. You could enter a community. It wouldn't necessarily have to be local. You could enter into a community worldwide.
Oh, he's gone.
Did we lose him?
Yeah,
you could enter into community worldwide that would allow you to certain types of governments. It allows, pretty much anything, but contracts, whatever the contract might be, it implements it. So what he says is 100% true. Here's the difficulty. The difficulty is when you give rich people the ability to leave, poor people can't tax themselves to prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to tax yourself to prosperity. Taxation is a redistribution of wealth, and it's a disincentive for wealth creation.
Right, and this basic income thing is a require. You pretty much have to have the ability to print money to have that, right? Or you have to have all these rich people to just tax to death.
Right, and so I think the fundamental flaw in this is that if you make communities, self-governing, small communities, rich people will simply move together like they have on islands like Guernsey and the Cayman Islands, mm-hmm. and Channel Islands. And I don't know, I'm not coming up with...
St. Kitts?
St. Kitts, probably. Certainly Hong Kong has areas. Mm. Lots of different ways. They just move together so that they're in areas where they don't get taxed, so that they can keep more of their wealth.
Makes sense.
So that they can then distribute that wealth as they wish. And the vast, and what I've been in, what I see, the rich people that hit the news that I see are distributing their wealth. They're saying that their children, we'll leave our children, $1 million. $1 million is a lot of money for a young person, for a person to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of their billions of dollars then go get distributed through more efficient ways of distributing wealth than the government could ever possibly imagine. What the government has turned into in many ways is simply a way for the poor people that can't qualify for these other things, or I have a story here where millionaires are cheating their way into welfare. So maybe it's not even poor people, just people who are, frankly, want to take money from other people.
One of the stories I want to do over at Free Keen in the next few weeks when I get a chance, it's not a burningly urgent story or anything like that, is about some of the alternatives that we've found to some of these old or these prolific systems, these corporate-run social media systems. We've been experimenting with different alternatives and here in the Keene area, and that's one of the things that I think that we do pretty well is we want to try other things. We don't want to just rely on Facebook. And one of them has been this chat app called Riot, R-I-O-T. It's currently in beta. So I think it's got some promise. It's got some user issues. Where it
doesn't have promise to replace social media. I mean,
no.
Let's be realistic.
No. It's a chat app.
Yeah.
So it does one of the things that Facebook does. Facebook does chat.
Yeah.
And this does a better job than Facebook at chat. And one of the things that it would supplant, I think, more perfectly would be the Slack chat system. So
sure.
A lot of businesses use Slack, which is this corporate-run basically a glorified internet relay chat is what Slack is.
Yeah.
Okay. And Slack, you have different rooms. You would have like your organization or your business signed up for this Slack thing. But Slack charges you like $5 a month per user. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's expensive.
That's crappy.
To do this. And if you don't pay, they do have a free tier with Slack. So you can try it, but there's a 10,000, I think, either character or word limit, meaning that once the messages get older than 10,000 words, you can't go back that far. You can't search it. And one of the purported benefits of Slack is that you can search the old chats and things like that. Riot does everything that Slack does, except it does it decentralized, and it does it open source, meaning that you don't have to rely on some corporation's existence to have your chat app exist. So if Slack goes out of business tomorrow, well, say bye-bye to, you know, all of your chats that you've ever had. Say bye-bye to, you know, being able to use that particular service ever again unless somebody happens to buy it and continues operating it. But, you know, it's not uncommon for these websites to run out of cash, run out of their investors' money, and then poof, they're gone. Well, now you got all your stuff on there.
If they're getting $5 a user, they're probably not going to run out anytime soon.
Probably not, but nonetheless, you don't want to put your data into corporate hands if you can avoid it. And Riot's one of those programs that allows you to avoid that. So it allows you to run your own server. You can connect to the main Riot server if you want, but you can run your own server and completely, and you can, you're still connected to the rest of the network. So it's a decentralized, still networked together sort of chatting system. That's one of them. That, again, it's a very secure system, more so than Telegram, for instance, which is another great group chat app that we've used to some success here in Keene. As far as replacing social media, you know, there are actually, we were looking at one of them, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but HumHub maybe? Hum, H-U-M, H-U-B, I think?
I'm not familiar with it.
This is an open source Facebook competitor.
Okay.
So you could install this on your server, and you can have people come onto your server and create pages and create groups and do the things that you expect to be able to do on a thing like Facebook, except you're in charge of it. It's running on your server.
It's like when I'm at home in my living room by myself. I'm in charge, and I'm the only one here.
You do have to attract people to it, which is the tricky thing. And then forum software, I think this Discourse forum is working pretty well that we're running the Free Talk Live forum on at forum.freetalklive.com. Go check that out. I've heard a lot of people saying they like it, and it's free, of course. Free Talk Live. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'd like to invite you to visit freekeen.com. Freekeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.